have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Now, I know today as I've read this passage, that is a mouthful, but I want you to know today how sovereign our God is, but how powerful the God that we serve is, that there's nothing left out that gives you description of who God Almighty is. Because the Apostle Paul writes this and he shares with us and lets us know that He has brought His Son to us with all loving kindness, that the world may be saved and that the world could be delivered. And He begins to give a vivid description. He, verse 15, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For it is by Him, listen, God, for by Him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible, things that you can see, things that you can't see, invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, whatever it may be, whatever may be out there, all things were created through Him, capitalized, and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. Now, I want you to know today, as this will be a mouthful, we're going to look at this a little bit today. The Apostle Paul, he writes and lets us know that there's no question, there should be no doubts, there should be no worries, there should be nothing else but God and Him alone, and that it is God that has His way and His well-being, even in our society, even in our world, even in our universe. Everything consists of God. And God is in, what are you saying, Pastor? He is in control. Now, this world may be out of control. There may be things in your life that might be out of control. But I do want you to know who is in control. And that is God Almighty. He's in control, always in control. He's always consistent. He's always faithful. He is always and has been and will continue to be from here on out through infinity and beyond. He still will be God. And for you and I to begin to imagine this or begin to try to fathom what God is, we are still in a searchable mode, because how unsearchable are His ways? They are far past finding, because we don't know, because eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it entered in the heart of man what God has in store for you and I, because of the greatness that our God is. We'll never understand fully His love, but He loved us so much that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth upon Him should not perish but have everlasting life. He brought His one and only sacrifice that you and I would be set free, and that you and I would live a life that Jesus Christ had died for, that you may be what God would want you to be today. So I want you to know it's not about you, it's not about me, but it's about what Jesus Christ does in our hearts and our lives on a daily basis. And yet He wants to have that personal relationship with you day in and day out. Faith in Christ brings freedom to you and I. The truth makes us free. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. The truth makes us free. Now I want us to look at this. John 8:32, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. The truth makes us free. The Son of the living God makes us free. The Son makes us free. John 8:36. Therefore, if the Son, Jesus Christ, makes you free, you shall be free indeed. So I want you to know today that Jesus Christ is wanting us to be set free. God doesn't want us to be in darkness. The enemy, Satan, wants you to stay in darkness. He wants you to be darkened. He wants you to be alienated. He wants you to be separated from His love, from His grace, from His mercy. He wants you to go down the road of destruction. Yet the road may look beautiful and everything may look great at the beginning, but understand He has a motive. He has destruction for us all to go down the wrong road. But Jesus Christ is wanting you to go down the right road. He wants you to go to the light, not from the light. The enemy wants you to go to darkness, and he wants to keep you dark because he doesn't want you to talk to Jesus. He doesn't want you to pray to Jesus. He doesn't want you to read about Jesus. He doesn't want you to meditate on Jesus because he wants to keep you in the dark. Well, I want you to know today that Jesus Christ has come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. The power of darkness is an obstacle to our freedom. Let me say it again. The power of darkness is an obstacle to our freedom. What is the power of darkness? What is the power of darkness? How is deliverance possible? Why is our deliverer able to be able to set us free? Why is our deliverer able to set us free? He is able to set us free because He has delivered us through His Son, Jesus Christ. The only way that we can come to God, the only way that we can come to Him at all, is that we have got to go through Jesus Christ. Why? Because Jesus Christ paid the ultimate penalty and the price that you and I can come to the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus lets us know that He is forever interceding. Did you know that? Jesus Christ is going to the Heavenly Father for you and I every day. He is going to the Heavenly Father, for the Bible says that He is forever interceding. He is praying and He's speaking to the Father in behalf of all of us because He has died for this world that we may have life and have it more abundantly. My first point today is this: the power of darkness. I want us to see this, the power of darkness. Colossians 1:13. He has delivered us from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. He has given unto us through His Son, Jesus Christ. Darkness speaks of sin. And yet men love darkness rather than light. Now I want you to see this scripture with me, John 3 and 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. That's why we have to constantly be going to the light. We've got to constantly be in prayer to the Lord Jesus Christ, not just Sunday morning, not just Wednesday night, but on daily basis. We've got to communicate with the Lord Jesus Christ on a daily basis. Why? Because our natural ability loves darkness. And understand that within our ability, we can't do anything. But with Jesus Christ living in us, we can do all things because the light has been shown upon our pathway. The light is within us, and it's not us doing, but it is Jesus Christ that is doing the things within us because our mind has been changed, our heart has been changed. We have a new change because old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new in your life. So the deed has been crucified at the cross over 2,000 years ago, that you and I can live, that Christ may live in us as we die to the flesh and as we allow the Holy Spirit to resurrect our hearts and our lives. Listen. The reason is that their deeds are evil and men want to go to darkness. Sin holds many people in bondage. Let me say it again. Sin holds many people in bondage. Wise ones avoid the works of darkness. If you know something's going to trip you up, what do? You don't walk into it. You walk away from it. If you're up on a high mountain and you like to visit the mountain sometime and watch the leaves fall in the winter and the fall and all the beautiful leaves of the mountains, and you love the mountain scenery and that's great, and you go to the top of the mountain, but what do? You just don't take off and just jump because you know you're going to die. So you know that that's going to harm you. So what do? You love to watch the scenery of it, but you don't jump in it. You don't go overboard to jump into over a cliff. And so what we need to understand that if we know something is not good for us, then we don't go near it. We don't jump for it. We don't begin to advocate for it. But what do? We stay away from it because we know that it's harmful for us. In our Christian walk, there are limits. There are things that we have to, as Christians, that we can't. I've got guys that I work with that don't claim to be Christians, but they know I'm a minister. And I know when I go out of town with them on jobs, they may have a beer or they may have whatever, and they know I don't do that. So I know that they know that while I'm there, they know that I only can go so far with them. But then after that, I stop where I'm at because I don't go over the line, because I know the limitations. I know what I can and what I can't do. Why? Now you may say, well, Pastor, maybe one beer wouldn't send you to hell, or one beer won't do this or that. Maybe it won't, but what is my reputation that's on the line? Would you respect me if I had a beer with a guy on Friday night and I was in the pulpit on Sunday morning preaching God's word? No. You would look at me and say, I'm not going to stand under that pastor. I'm not going to sit under that pastor because he's not living the life. And so I want you to know today, we have boundaries as Christians on what we can and what we can't do. because there is darkness lurking around trying to kill, steal, and to destroy and to stop the working of God in your life. And it's not for you to go over those boundaries, but it is for you to stop and let the line be in the sand, and that's as far as you go, and you don't go any further. Why? Because on the other side, the enemy's saying, oh, come on, come on. It's okay, it's all right. Oh, God loves you. Oh, God says it's okay, it's all right. And guess what happens? When you take an inch, he takes 12 inches. When you take a mile, he takes 10 miles. When he takes 10 miles, he takes 20 miles. What is he doing? He's baiting you to go into darkness. And God says, I'm about life and I'm about light. In other words, he shines light on our pathway to know what darkness looks like, and that you and I need to know the difference of what darkness is and what light is. And if we walk in the light as he is in the light, then we have fellowship one with another. And so when we walk in light and we know that there is light there and we can take in the light, then guess what? We don't go into darkness. Because it's not your ability, it's not my ability, it's Jesus Christ through us that we have the ability to do what we do. And we only do it by the grace and the mercy of God. We are not the Lone Ranger. We are not Superman. You are not Batman. You are bought with a price that the Lord Jesus Christ had purchased on a cross over 2,000 years ago. He's given you victory. He's given me victory. And therefore, he's given us a roadmap, a GPS, God's Word, that we can follow by so that we not walk into darkness, but we walk in the light to the best of our knowledge. Knowledge and ability. Listen. Ephesians 5 and 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. The power of sin flows from the rulers of darkness. Let me share this with you again. Let me say this. The power of sin flows from the rulers of darkness. Believers are in conflict with these rulers. Let me say it again. Believers are in conflict with these rulers. Ephesians 6 and 12. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. There have some that have fallen from the faith because they have been wrestling with the flesh, giving into the flesh because of what? Evil spirits that begin to deal with their hearts and their mind and causes them to move away from the light to walk in straight into darkness. Our Lord has equipped us to win every battle that you and I go through. Let me say it again. God has equipped you and I to win every battle that you and I go through. Ephesians 6 and 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power, not your might, but His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and have done all with that whole armor on. He says, stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, and above all, take the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to the end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, to be in prayer. Not only do you have the whole armor on, but it's also for you to be in prayer. Because guess what? It's not just the armor. But being in prayer is to stay communicated with the Lord Jesus Christ, that you're communicating with Him and letting Him know with all the things that are going on even in your life to keep you away from darkness. Christ, the light that overcomes the power of darkness. It's not you, it's Christ that's in you, that you become that Christ would want you to be, and that He would, guess what? He would help you through overcoming the power of darkness. Those who walk with Christ have the light of life. You have life in the Lord Jesus Christ. John 8:12. Then Jesus spoke to them, saying again, I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk, look at this, in darkness, but have the light of life. John 8:12. I am, Jesus says, I am the light of the world, period. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness. If we're following Jesus, if we're doing what He's asked us to do, then guess what? We won't walk in darkness. We won't fulfill the lust of the flesh. We won't fulfill the desires. We won't feel that darkness. Why? Because we're walking in light. Remember the scripture says, men love darkness. But Jesus has come that we may have life and have it more abundantly. Second point today, the possibility of deliverance. In whom, Colossians 1:14, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sin. In whom we have redemption through His blood. We have been redeemed. In other words, we have been bought back with a price. What's the price? The Lord Jesus Christ dying on the cross. That was the price that was paid on Calvary's cross. What good news that we have. Deliverance from bondage calls for praise. Deliverance from bondage calls for praise. We are to praise the Lord in the good times, but we are to praise the Lord in the bad times. Now, it's easy for us to praise God when everything's doing great. Pastor, everything's doing great. I'm not needing anything. I've got everything. The whole nine yards, I'm really doing fine. But when things go south, then we want to beg on God. We want to pray and want everybody else to pray, and we want this and we want that and the other. Listen, I want you to know God is not a God that we call on when we're in trouble. God is a God that wants to have a relationship with you when you're on cloud 9 and when you're down in the bottom of the pit. He wants consistency, because He's not a God that we just flip on, and that's the way we live in our society. We flip a switch on when we want God. And when we don't want God, we flip a switch off. Or maybe we pick Him up off of a shelf and say, God, I'll call you when I need you, but right now I'm doing fine. Listen, that right there lets us know that we're only concerned with what we're going through. But listen, the God the Father wants to have a relationship with you Monday morning, not Sunday morning. He wants to have a relationship to communicate with you on Tuesday morning, on Wednesday morning. You see, I think a lot of times if we're not careful, we'll take God for granted. God is not a God to be taken for granted. Listen, Moses leading his people from slavery into Egypt. Israel's song of deliverance, we see that all through Exodus, the 15th chapter. We see that that whole chapter is nothing but a song of deliverance for Israel. Our deliverance includes the forgiveness of our sins. That's part of our deliverance, because Jesus Christ has delivered us from our sins, not in our sins. And yet the old account, as we sing that song, the old account was settled long ago. And we know that that was settled when we asked the Lord Jesus Christ into our hearts and life. Nothing can be brought up against the redeemed. The promise of deliverance was given to us even in the Garden of Eden. Genesis 3 and 15. And here's what God says: I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed. He shall bruise your head, you shall bruise his heel. Even in Genesis, God had you and I in mind. He was still going to make a way. Even after Adam had done the ultimate deed of sinning against God because of the fruit that was taken, yet God still at that moment made a way for you and I to, guess what? To be set free through His Son, Jesus Christ. Listen, the payment for deliverance was paid at Calvary's cross. 1 Peter 1 and 18. Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver, gold, for your aimless conduct receiving by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. All sin was placed on Jesus Christ, a man that knew no sin, but sin was placed upon Him. And guess what? You and I were redeemed. Listen, we were redeemed with guess what? Knowing that you're not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold, but with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ that was paid on Calvary's cross. My third point today is this: the perfect deliverer. The perfect deliverer. I want you to know today, Jesus Christ is the one and only ultimate perfect deliverer. As we will be celebrating here in the next few months, Christmas and the birth of Christ, He sent His one and only Son, born of a virgin, conceived by the Holy Spirit. Nothing brought Him in this world, and really, nothing really took Him out, even though He was nailed to a tree. But God, His Father, had the ultimate decision, because on 3 days, they tried to seal the tomb, and in 3 days, God says, "You're coming out, son." And He did. So I want you to know today that the perfect deliverer was Jesus Christ. Again, first chapter of Colossians and 15, He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by Him all things were created that are in heaven, that are on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones, dominion, principalities, powers, all things were created through Him and for Him, and He is before all things, and in Him all things consist. The image of the invisible God. All things were made by Him. John 1 and 3, all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. Christ, as the eternal Son, holds the priority. Christ created all principalities and powers. Colossians 1 and 16, for by him we were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, visible, invisible, whether thrones, dominions, principalities, or powers, all things were created through him and for him. He is then far above them. Ephesians 1 and 21, far above all principalities and powers, might and dominion, every name that is named not only in this age but also in that which is to come. We hadn't even heard the name yet. That's describing who Jesus is and what he is. It's still held out. As we see that even in Revelation, it still held out. We hadn't even begun to understand yet. But what the Scripture says, it is far above all principalities, powers, and might, and dominion, every name that is named not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. He, Jesus Christ, was bought with a precious price that you and I will never begin to understand. We'll never be able to understand it. He has triumphed over them. Colossians 2 and 15, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them and triumphantly over them in it. The power of darkness cannot stand against him, Jesus Christ. Let me say it again. The power of darkness cannot stand against him, Jesus Christ. There's not enough devils in hell that can stop the mighty moving of God, for he is and will be and always will be to the very end. Amen. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just because you may be feeling what you're feeling and you're not feeling this and feeling that and all of this may not be good and all this may not be great, it still does not change your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. He still will stand the test of times. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God, because God said it, he meant it, and you can count it done that he will be God in our hearts and in our lives. Give God praise in the house today. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter what I say. It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what your neighbor says. It doesn't matter what anybody says. Because God's word will stand the test of times. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. Everything else will be destroyed, but my word will not be destroyed, because John 1 and 1 says, I am God and I am the Word. And God clearly lets us know that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and it dwelled among us. Hallelujah. Because the Word of God will stand the test of time. It will stand the test of time. Listen, in Christ, our deliverance is sure. And you can rest your faith in this perfect deliverer. Because God Almighty has sent His Son, Jesus Christ. We have won. We have won. The last book of the Bible of Revelation clearly lets us know we have won. You are not a defeater. You are not being defeated. You will not be defeated, because the Bible clearly lets us know that if we're in Christ and we're walking in the light as He is in the light, then we cannot fail. You will not fail when you've got your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and you're walking in His light. You're not walking in man's light. Paul said this. He said, do I want to be a man pleaser or do I want to be a God pleaser? He says, I want to be a God pleaser. Because when it all says, it's all said and done, when it all shakes down, you and I have to stand before the Lord Almighty. And God is going to be the God that will extend His mercy and grace to us all. But until then, we are to continue to fight the good fight of faith. We are still to persevere and still fight the good fight. Listen, Jesus said, if they hated me, they're going to hate you. Jesus said, if they didn't like me, they're not going to like you. But He said, okay, that's fine. You can continue on just as I continued on. And He said, and I will give you the power. I will give you the strength. And He says, I will give you the victory. And folks, we can claim it. We can claim victory. Why? Because Jesus Christ had settled it on Calvary's cross over 2,000 years ago. That's why we can do what we're doing today. If He had not went through the resurrection, if He had not rose on the third day, and if He was not seated with the right hand of the Father, none of this, all this would be null and void. We might as well go home because none of this matters. But everything matters. Why? Because Jesus Christ arose on the third day. He arose on the third day. And He is alive forevermore. And He is a God that understands you and I every day of our life. Stand with me across the building today. Listen, I know that our Redeemer lives. I know without a shadow of a doubt that God is with us. I know without a shadow of a doubt that He is going to see us through. I know without a shadow of a doubt that God has done it before and He's going to do it again. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, as long as we look to the cross, I didn't say look to man. I didn't say look to the pastor. I said let's look to the cross. We look to the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Man will let you down. People will let you down. But there's one thing that won't let you down is the Lord Jesus Christ. The cross will never let you down. And I want you to know today that our trust is in Jesus Christ. Because He is the one that's going to save our souls. And He's the one that's going to pull us through this life which we live. And folks, it's not getting any better. But one thing we can be reassured, everything is good in Jesus Christ. Because He's going to take care of us. Every head bowed and every eye closed, I want to pray today. Dear Heavenly Father, Son, and Holy Spirit,